In the name of God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. Well, our Gospel today from St. Luke is somewhat more pointed than one might remember the Beatitudes as being. We can hear them, usually from Matthew instead of Luke, as rather spiritualized. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? That might apply to just about anybody. Now, there's danger here, and that danger is that we might hear that it's all about our own attitude. That if we could just arrange our mindset properly to be poor in spirit, we are then blessed. Nothing else is required. But St. Luke won't let us do that. He writes, "Blessed are you who are poor," full stop. And, "Woe to you who are rich," full stop. There's no wiggle room. In Luke's Gospel, we hear over and over again how very difficult it is to enter into God's kingdom when one is rich, when one has a roof over one's head, medical care, clothing, possessions, friends and family. See, rich in the Gospels doesn't mean really rich, wealthy, 1%. By global standards, most people who live in this country are still incredibly better off than large portions of the world. They are, in an absolute sense, rich. And the problem is that when one is rich, a little or a lot, one has a tendency to attribute that to one's own merit, or family, or education, or one's own determination and hard work, or even one's own moral standing. And while there's a lot to be said for initiative and personal responsibility and hard work, our success, our richness, can't ever be attributed solely to our own efforts. Not entirely, not even mostly. And there's the problem. When one is rich, one forgets that. And if we can accomplish everything through our own efforts, we really have no need of God. Instead of God, what one does have is a need to fear the loss of those good things. And that fear makes us act in self-protective ways. Ways that close us off from the poor, the hungry, the stranger. Those people who are other. Makes us treat people who seem to be a threat, not as brothers and sisters, but as enemies, or at the very least as competitors. And then we really are to be pitied. Woe to us indeed. Because God always stands on the side of the poor and the hungry, on the side of the widow and the orphan and the stranger and the alien, on the side of those who mourn, on the side of those whose lives are pretty much a mess. The entire arc of salvation history, from the Old Testament through the New, demonstrates God's love for his people, most especially for his people who are poor, hungry, dispossessed, those who weep. Now, Christianity and humanity in general haven't been especially good at standing with those who are poor, hungry, and wretched. We have our moments when we do, but they often seem to be afterthoughts, done only once we've addressed the important business of pulling up our own bootstraps and protecting our goods and family from what we fear. This is why Jesus says, "Woe to you." See, what's on offer is an entirely different way of living, different way of relating to our fellow humans. It's not always comfortable or easy, but definitely blessed. Blessed, by the way, isn't saying happy or easy or fulfilled or even comfortable. Now today is the Feast of All Saints. That's the biggest saints like St. Luke and St. Francis and St. Paul and whoever your favorite saint is. It's also the Feast of the lowercase s saints, like those whose names we will read today in a little while. The lowercase s saints like us. The big S saints definitely showed us, like Jesus did, what a life lived in God looks like. But so do the lives of the little S saints, who St. Paul addresses and sometimes as you who are called to be saints in whatever place. In our second reading today, St. Paul tells the church of Ephesus and us, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power? Interesting phrase, with the eyes of your heart enlightened. See, our hearts are only enlightened if they're open. Open to how very much we already received. Open to the world that God made and that God loves so much. Open to the plight of our fellow inhabitants of this planet, whom God also loves so much. That is the hope to which we are called. That is what blessed is. Our celebration of All Saints gives us examples of how to live a Christian life. A life of gladness and singleness of heart, as we say, after communion, or if you like the 8 o'clock service, all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. And we have more specific how to's as well. Jesus tells us, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Not love as an emotion or as a mindset, but as concrete action. And God gives us the hope and perseverance for each of us to shine as one little light, one more saint, little less saint or biggest saint, in the world that God loves so much.